Hey, sports fans, welcome to today's world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico. I'm tittering a little bit. I'm laughing. Tittering, another word for laughing, although it is distinctly feminine to titter, one would think. Nonetheless, laughing at the promo I just did for the Backstage Pass. Welcome to today's show, though. This is a encore show, it being Tuesday, it being the 29th of June, 2012, it being, you know, me, Phil Hendry. Now then, what we have is a Rory replay. You know, our very generous and very thoughtful curator, Rory McLeod, he posts these replay shows on the BSPs and More page on Facebook. I'm not allowed to go on Facebook these days. I was put in Facebook jail because I said doo-doo or booger or some, you know, bad word. And they bounced me. I'll be back on, I believe, July the 4th, Day of Freedom, Day of Independence, the day Phil Hendry returns to Facebook. Oh, goody. Anyway, digressing there momentarily, let me get back to today's encore show. It is from April 24th, 2019, as curated by Mr. McLeod. It's Gene Jabel's Country USA. Gene has had his ass kicked by some of the top country artists in the world, as you all know. And this week, he talks about getting effed over by Rascal Flatts, Carrie Underwood, and Garth Brooks. All right. Can't wait for this. It's always fun to listen to Gene get his ass handed to him by some of the great stars in all of country music. So let's check it out now. This is from April of 2019. The world-famous Phil Hendry... Yeah, you almost got through it, Phil. You almost made it through.
Yeah, there you go, Phil Hendry Foe.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Shut up.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, everybody. This is Gene Jabel. And I've had my ass kicked by some of the great stars in country music.
Gene Jabel.
Yeah, it's Country Music USA with me, Gene Jabel. Here's a song going way, way back to the days of Patsy Cline when she actually did fall to pieces in a plane crash. All right, Patsy Cline with I Fall to Pieces here on the Gene Jabel Country USA Show. And I'll tell you, I started to stutter step a little bit there when I was thinking about all the great things that I had in mind for Patsy Cline's estate. Patsy Cline, of course, was very, very famous when I was just a little boy. I was a paper boy, and I hated country music. I listened to R&B. But anyway, I went to Patsy Cline's estate planning people, and I said, listen, I know that you are in control of Patsy Cline's estate. And they said, yes, we are. What do you want? I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm about to make you a lot of money. A lot of money. I held up a little bobblehead doll. I said, how about the Patsy Cline bobblehead doll? And just for laughs, the head comes off. And I said, I'm only kidding. As they began to get up from their chairs, they were moving toward me in a rather menacing way. And I said, okay, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, I'm only kidding. Here is a Patsy Cline Vegematic. It chops things up, well, into pieces. I said, but that's not the joke. They began moving toward me even closer. I said, hold on. Here's the little Patsy Cline balsa wood rubber band airplane. Just fly it right into the mountain. And that's when I felt hands grab me about the shoulders, my belt, and my legs. I felt hands lifting me off the ground. It was very relaxing. I felt like, oh, I think I could take a nap. Maybe that's what they want me to do, or they're going to hoist me over their shoulders and say, yay for Gene Jabel. Well, in point of fact, they did not. They took me out onto a deck that was overlooking a driveway and a swimming pool. This is where they usually had cigarettes and coffee and whatever they had, cocktails at the end of the day. And they lifted me up high over their heads. There were about five of them, five members of Patsy Cline's estate planning group. And they lifted me up and they threw me right down onto the concrete driveway. But that wasn't all. There was someone waiting downstairs in a car. They'd sent him ahead, and as soon as I hit, he backed the car over top of me. What kind of a car? A Hummer. It didn't feel good. Well, as I tried to stagger to my feet, it was very, very difficult. I finally did get to my feet. The guy that had backed over me saw that I'd stood up. He got the high sign from upstairs. The guy gave him the big thumbs up. When he saw me stand up, he said, yeah, do it. The guy floored it and ran over me again.
You tell me.
I staggered to my feet again. He backed the Humvee back over top of me. I staggered to my feet again, and he drove it over top of me again. And finally, when my head was in a perfect position, because I was falling and getting up and falling and getting up, my head was in a perfect position, they closed the electric garage door on my head. Well, I must have screamed for well into 6 hours or so, because the cops didn't show up till well after midnight. I said, why are you here? They said, because of the screaming. I said, when was it reported? They said, about 5 minutes ago. The garage door closed on my head at 5:30.
You are gone. Gene Jabel, Country Music USA. Yeah.
Country Music USA here with Gene Jabel every week here on some great radio stations like KURN, not KORN, that's corn. KURN is Kern. That's Kern, KURN, and that's the way it's said in some countries like, I don't know, Africa or Ireland or something like that. Great stations like that. We're also on great radio stations like which is a country station on another planet. I'm only kidding. Gene Jabel Country USA, I've got my ass kicked by some great ones, and here's a guy This is a guy that kicked my ass along with a bunch of truckers, C.W. McCall, with his convoy.
Yeah, 10-4.
That's right. He came to Gene Jabel and asked for a management deal when nobody knew who C.W. McCall was. They thought he was a line of sweaters.
Yeah, we definitely got the front door.
This was a big hit in the 1970s, and I was just starting out my management and disc jockey business. I didn't know whether I wanted to do management or whether I wanted to be a disc jockey. I like being a disc jockey, but the money was in management, and because I was a disc jockey and country music artists are generally very friendly people, they ingratiated themselves with me and I with them. But I decided, you know, in my back pocket, I have the management idea.
We is heading for bear.
Well, there he is, C.W. McCall. He came to my office one day and said, I got a great idea, Mr. Jabel, if you'd like to hear it. I said, what is it? He says, it's about a CB radio and guys are talking on it on the radio as the truckers are driving. And I said, whoa, sunshine. I said, you want me to do a record about a guy in a ham radio set? I said, I know all about truckers and their radios. Nobody wants to hear about it. And I was right. At that particular time, I was right. I said, get out of my office, take your cheap advertising executive suit, which is what he was doing at the time, along with that cowboy hat, which is too big for you, all 5'2" of you, get out. Well, I was right. It was not going to hit that time, that day, but in about 6 months, it was a major smash. So I found out where C.W. McCall was located, and his office was not too far from mine. So I went over to his office. Turned out it was in a very secure building. I said, I'd like to go up to C.W. McCall's office. They said, who are you? I said, I'm Gene Jabel. I do country music USA. I also have a management company. They said, we never heard of you. And I said, okay, I expect that. I expect to get the tough treatment, the rough treatment. I ended that. I know you guys know who I am. So they called upstairs. They said, nope, we never heard of you. I said, well, that's a load of horse shit. And I got a little angry, so I raced past them, and I went up the stairway. And because I'm in pretty good condition, I outraced all the security guys. I got to the front desk there at C.W. McCall's office. I said, I'm Gene Jabel, country music USA, and I'm here to see C.W. McCall because you know what? I've listened to his song Convoy, and now I realize this is the right time. It is a hit, and I know that it is a hit, and I'm conscious of that, but it was not going to be a hit before now. And I said, okay, now I'll give him a management deal. And she picked up the phone. She said, Mr. McCall, and I could hear in the background this kind of, you know the way guys sound like squirrels on the phone? I said, who's that? Is that your boss, Mr. McCall, or is that a squirrel that can talk on the phone? She got up and looked at me kind of funny and went back to the office. And out of the office came not only C.W. McCall, but two guys about 6'5", guys that play rugby for the New Zealand national rugby team. And he said, hi, aren't you the guy that told me to get out of your office because you thought the whole idea of the Convoy song sucked? I said, back then it did. I said, now it's a hit. He said, I know, I can read Billboard as well as anybody else. Well, the two big guys that play rugby, one of them grabbed one arm, the other one grabbed the other arm, and they began to stretch me, almost as if they were trying to put me on the rack. Mr. McCall walked up, all 5'2", and buried a knee in my testicles.
He laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared.
Well, I went, and as I did that, his secretary came out from behind the desk and took a big spoon load of potato salad and shoved it in my throat. So I went, so now I'm choking on potato salad. These two big rugby players are stretching me from one side to the other. And that's when they decided to wrap me up in a carpet that they had there or something. I felt like I was Cleopatra, although I knew I didn't bear any resemblance to her. I said, what do you want to do when you unroll me, C.W.? Do you want to F me? I used the word F-U-C, you know. That's when he took a baseball bat. He said, I hate baseball, but I always keep this handy for management types and so on and so forth, especially record promo people. I said, well, you're in luck. I'm not a record promo person. And that's when I felt the bat come right down on top of my testicles. Gene Jabel. I screamed and screamed and screamed. When I got to my office, I was still screaming. When I got to my house and I started making dinner, I was still screaming. And then when I finally picked up my news and picked up my mail and picked up all the other things that I had, I was still screaming. And then I heard this song come on the radio. You got it. It was Garth Brooks, I've Got Friends in Low Places. And I said,
blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots.
I said, I remember when I discovered Garth Brooks. I didn't actually discover him when the song was not known. I said, I discovered Garth Brooks as soon as the song became a hit. Garth Brooks had come into my office, and any of you people would have done the same thing. I said, yeah, may I help you? This isn't Weight Watchers. And he went, ha, 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 that's very funny. Mr. Jabel, I hear you do management. I'd love for you to manage me. And I said, manage you doing what? He said, I play country music, and here's the song. And he played this song for me. And I said, that's very, very interesting. I'm glad that you've got a sidelight writing little, you know, ditties like that for your kids' birthday party, but that will never be a hit. And I kicked him directly in the ass, and I said, go on, take your punk ass out of here and take that busted down guitar you got. He rolled down the stairs. He was all humiliated. His cowboy hat came off. He said, gosh, Mr. Jabel, you're a mean man. I said, get out of here. Took his guitar. I launched it in the middle of the boulevard, and just then, a 16-wheeler came through. No, not 18-wheeler, a 16-wheeler. Well, maybe I can't count. Anyway, 8 months later, I'm listening to the radio, and this thing's on the radio. I said, wait a minute. I thought I knew I heard this thing somewhere on a PA. Maybe you were playing it in your... But this has got to be a mistake. So I realized that this was the man himself, Garth Brooks, and this song was a hit. And when I say you were, I was imagining that he was sitting there still talking to me. And I imagined that I was said to him, I'm going to go over to your office right now. I hope you're there. And I imagined him saying back, yeah, I'll be there. I'll wait for you. And I said, okay. And then I imagined saying to him, all right, now get out of here. You know. So I got into my car. I drove over to the Garth Brooks building. It was a gigantic building. And I went up to the receptionist there. And I said, what is it with all these country artists that hit it big? They got to have receptionists. They have to have offices and stuff. Receptionist didn't know what I was talking about. She said, well, Mr. Brooks isn't here. He's at home. I said, well, where is that? She said, you see that mansion on top of that hill? I said, yeah. She said, it's the one behind it, which was on a higher elevation. So I got into my car and I drove over to Garth Brooks' mansion. And I was standing at the gate and I said, hi, I'm Gene Jabel. I'm the guy that you want to see because you remember when your song, I Got Friends in Low Places, blew every ape in the zoo, and now it's a hit? I'm the guy that identified it as a piece of turd, and now I know it's a hit. And I wasn't even talking to him. I was talking to a little four-year-old girl who was there playing with a ball. And I said, but I'm practicing. Is your daddy around? She said, you mean Mr. Brooks? I said, yeah. So she went and got a woman, and a woman said, may I help you? I said, I'm looking for Garth Brooks. So she went and got a guy. He was a bit taller than her, but a foot taller. He said, may I help you? I said, I'm looking for Garth Brooks. He went, he got another guy who was another foot taller than him, until finally there was a guy standing in front of me that was 8'6". I said, let me tell you something, Johnny Weissmuller. I'm here to see Garth Brooks with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to pull his life out of the sewer and make this song even bigger than it is. Yes, I know. I turned him down for a management deal. He said, oh, you were the guy. I said, yeah. He says he never stops talking about what an asshole you are. And I went, ha, 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 ha. Garth's always kidding. Well, as I was going, ha, 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 I felt a fist go into my mouth. It was surprising because it fit. This guy was 8'6". There's no way. Well, it was the fist of the little girl. I guess I was wrong. Well, I lost about 6 teeth. Then he put the little girl down. He said, go ahead, honey. Try it again. And she belted me in the mouth again. Then I lost another 5 teeth. Well, by the time the little girl was done punching me in the mouth, I had no teeth left. I'm saying, well, you haven't got that copper. That's what I sounded like. Well, I wasn't really only proud of that, but I wasn't going to go away until I had that management deal with Garth Brooks. The guy said, look, you get lost or I'm going to call the police. I said, call the police. He said, I'm only kidding. I'm not calling the police. You see that flagpole? I said, yeah. He says, that hasn't really been seated in the ground yet. It's just kind of leaning against that building. Watch out. And he pushed the flagpole right over on top of my foot. I began to scream, and I screamed all that night and well into the next day. And when I finally stopped screaming, I realized I was in my kitchen making myself orange juice. And looking at the newspaper, and there was Garth Brooks, number one, I Got Friends in Low Places. So I called up the office. I said, yeah, you got friends in low places, all right. And one of them is you, Mr. Brooks. You're in a low place. And I heard someone go, ha, 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 who is this? I said, it's Gene Jabel. They said, Jeb Jabin? I said, you're just making fun of me because you know who I am. And they said, yeah, sure. And then I heard, And I realized that was me sounding like a dial tone, so I didn't have to hear them do the dial tone because I hung up first. I was wrong.
I just don't. Gene Jabel's Country Music USA will be back in just a moment. Roscoe's Country Cooking at the corner of 15th and Uber in downtown Nashville. They got chicken in the rough. They got chicken. They got chicken cacciatore. They got broiled chicken, boiled chicken. Brother, they got barbecued chicken. And guess what? Unless you're chicken, you're going to really enjoy their chicken tequila. That's right, Roscoe's. Roscoe's Country Cooking in downtown Nashville.
I'm Roscoe. And there isn't anything that's ever been done with or to a chicken that I haven't tried.
And it's knowing.
Sorry, folks, we didn't mean to. That is Roscoe, and the restaurant is named after him, but he hasn't been allowed out. That's a big mistake there. Who did that?
Roscoe's Country Cooking in Nashville. Chicken and more. Gene Jabel, Country USA, will continue in just a moment.
Hey, Gene Jabel here. You know, I've had my ass kicked by some of the great names in country music. I have had my ass kicked. I've had my head stoved in. I've had my eyeballs punched black. I've had my nose broken 6-7 times. But you know what? That is the price of doing business. The country artists love and respect me. You know, I just have to get by their bouncers and their security, and I hand them some of the great management deals of all time as Gene Jabel gets beat up repeatedly, beat up almost to the point of being crippled weekly on Country Music USA. Let me get on the phone here, Frank Gray. Frank Gray's in management, and Frank is also an entertainment attorney. Frank, how are you doing?
Yeah, I've been great, Gina. Thanks for...
My name's... It's not Gina. Did you call me...
No, I didn't call you Gina, for Christ on it.
It's Jane. Your name's Jane, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, what can I do for you?
Well, tell you what, Frank. I am looking, as you know, I do management, Gene Jabel Management, and I am looking myself for a management deal. You know what? I am asking you to manage me.
This, how many times are we going to have this conversation?
No, but I'm...
No, how many times are we going to have this conversation? I told you, I can't manage you, okay, Gene? I can't manage any guy who's going around getting her ass kicked by everybody in the country music business.
This whole thing with you calling guys her and women him.
What are you talking about now?
Never mind. So, if I promise I'll still get my ass kicked, but if I promise I'll be polite, and when I get my ass kicked, it'll be their fault. Is that okay?
No, it's not okay. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. How about not getting your ass kicked at all? I talk to people about Gene Jabel. They say, who is she? I said, she's a pretty decent country disc jockey. As an entertainment manager, she doesn't know her ass from a hole in the ground. And they say, well, why? And I said, because she won't leave me alone.
Frank.
No. She won't leave me alone. Okay? Now, you're a nice guy, Gene, and the reason why you get your ass kicked is because country artists don't like you, and you are unrelenting, you never leave them alone, and they will not stop until you die.
Frank.
You're gonna die. I hope you realize that, Gene.
No, I tell you what, I'll be back next week and I'll talk to you again, okay, Frank?
Bullshit.
Hey, Frank?
Oh, get out of here, man. Yeah, she called again.
Hi, everybody. Gene Jabel here. I get my ass kicked by the great names in country music every single week right here on Country Music USA. You know, Hank Williams is no longer with us, as I was mentioning. And Hank Williams, of course, was one of our great stars. But when he was making music, I was barely born. And when I finally was born, I was probably listening to Disney records. If I'd had to actually listen to this kind of music as a little tiny kid, I probably wouldn't have stopped projectile vomiting week after week. But nonetheless, this is music, country music. It's very important. It's Hank Williams. And it's important, and it's Hank Williams. That's about all I know about that. But I can tell you this much. I do know this, ladies and gentlemen. I do know that Hank Williams drank himself to death. And the other day, I was emceeing a charity event for drunk driving sponsored by the Hank Williams Foundation. And so I was up there. I'm trying to loosen people up. One of the things I like to do as Gene Jabel when I'm doing emceeing events or in my management career as a disc jockey, I like to loosen people up. I like to get people just kind of, loosen it up, man. Don't take everything so serious. So I started making, I started making jokes about drunk driving, talking about being thrown through a windshield and things like that. I know it sounds gruesome. I know it sounds bad. But hey, you know what? When you learn to loosen up, when you learn to say just, hey, you know what? The guy's a drunk. He drives drunk. He drives over top of old people at bus stops. Big deal. That's when we can begin to talk to each other. That's when we bridge the gaps between each other. Well, so I'm making all these jokes about drunk driving at this event, and the patrons there, I guess for whatever reason, they didn't like it, and they don't have a sense of humor. And one of the things about country music fans, especially, and the artists, no sense of humor at all. So they rolled me up in a large rug, just like that that management team there, I think Patsy Cline. I mean, they rolled me up in this rug, and they beat me with chairs, end tables, lead pipes, baseball bats, sledgehammers. The reason why I knew is because I would peek out from under the rug and take a look and say, what are they hitting me with now? And I kept a metal note. I was being hit with lead pipes. I wasn't sure it was lead. I actually asked somebody, though. I said, is that a lead pipe? And they went, wouldn't you like to know? Bang, hit me again. Sledgehammers, standing lamps, and a snow shovel. Well, with all of my teeth shattered and my jaw unhinged, I tried to explain myself, but I came off talking more like a zombie or a ghoul because, I'd had my face kicked in. And this is what I sounded like.
I'm tired of me.
Well, the people screamed. They were frightened. They didn't know what to do. Some of them doused me with whiskey and other hard liquor from the cash bar. And I probably made a bunch of jokes about the cash bar and how stupid these people are. And they, go to a host bar, man. Go to a host bar. You get it for free, and you can still get your drunk driving rap going. That's when they lit me on fire.
Purple sky.
Well, I staggered to the ballroom on fire, moaning and scaring everyone. You've seen it happen in all kinds of movies, all kinds of horror movies. A guy just going, yeah. And I was a flaming guy. I staggered through the ballroom, smashed through, yes, you're right, some glass, sliding glass doors, and then a priest using a cross tried to turn me like a vampire. Cops and fire department showed up, and I fell in a hail of rubber bullets. I'm Gene Jabel.
Gene Jabel, another ass kicking.
On a warm summer's evening. On a train bound for nowhere.
Getting my ass kicked by the great stars of country music, and what would Gene Jabel be? Who would I be? What would I be? Why would I be if I hadn't had my ass beat by Kenny Rogers?
Oh, at the darkness, to boredom overtook.
That's right, Kenny Rogers. You know him. He's the guy that did this song,
he says,
The Gabbler. I thought it was called The Gabbler. I just noticed there's an M in it. The Gabbler, is that it? The Gabbler.
Gene Jabel will be right back with his story about The Gabbler.
Gabbler.
Well, The Gabbler in a moment. Country Music USA. We'll be right back.
See you're out of aces.
Hey, y'all, it's Willie Hickson. Willie Hickson's Blues Parlor is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't even mess around, all right? Because I like my music. I know you like your music. And having a blues, let me tell you something, having a blues bar in a city like Nashville, everybody want to hear country music. I got to keep this thing open 24-7, 7 days a week to say I am blues, 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 blues. No, 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 I won't play no country music. Come on into Willie Hickson's Blues Bar 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Listen to blues, eat some good food. I don't know what kind of food. It's generally hamburgers. We actually have beef bourguignon. There's no such thing as blues food, okay? Just get that out of your mind, all right? We serve up regular food, good food. We got pot roast, you know. We've got all kinds of things. I think we even have quiche. But Willie Hickson's Blues Parlor, real blues.
Willie Hickson's Blues Parlor, 5th and Main in downtown Defafity.
We're in Defafity, that's about 5 miles outside of Covenant, which is in Central City, Nashville.
Woohoo! Gene Jabel back here, Country Music USA. I've had my ass beat by some of the great names, as I mentioned, but nobody has kicked my ass quite as thoroughly. No one has kicked my ass in a manner that is so humiliating to me. No one has kicked my ass to the point where, you know what, I know I want to come back and get my ass kicked again because I think I might just like it than Kenny Rogers. That's right, I'm Gene Jabel, and I stuttered over the name. You heard me kind of hesitate than Kenny Rogers because remembering the beating I took at the hands of Kenny Rogers.
Out of reading.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ, man.
Scares the hell out of me, man. Well, it turns out I appeared at the Horseshoe Casino in Robinson, Mississippi one day. There was Kenny Rogers lookalike singing a duet with a lookalike Dolly Parton. That's right, who, of course, had these big, huge, and I mean gigantic fake boobs.
So I
remarked on how I'd like to have those boobs in my mouth, just something to kind of break the ice. The fake Kenny Rogers grabbed me by my ear, nearly wrenching it free of my skull, dragged me across the casino floor, across multiple craps and roulette tables. Then this Kenny Rogers, this fake Kenny Rogers, by the way, imagine the fake Kenny Rogers treating me, not even the real Kenny Rogers did this, it was a fake Kenny Rogers. I'll get to the story about the real Kenny Rogers kicking my ass just a second. The fake Kenny Rogers threw me into an ATM machine head first. Then he dumped a video slot machine onto my head, my bloodied head. Various casino customers took turns kicking me while I was on the floor, and some old lady poured whiskey sour on me and then kicked me in the nutsack. How about that? Then along comes that Dolly Parton with the big fake boobs, and I still said to her,
"Can I have your local boob in the mouth?"
That's the way I sounded. Well, the last person to stand over me, as I looked up, I opened my eyes about 6 hours later. I was laying there in a pool of spit and blood and whiskey, and it was the actual Kenny Rogers. He said, "Are you all right?" I said, "Mr. Rogers, I wanted to come here to tell you I like your song, The Gabbler." He said, "You mean The Gambler?" I said, "Uh-oh." And that's when I felt yet another ATM machine drop on my head.
Kenny Rogers drops an ATM machine on Gene Jabel.
Crushed out a cigarette.
Yeah. Well, you know, folks, I was sitting in my office one day. I was looking at the clock, and I was looking at my cash receivables, and I was looking at the clock and cash receivables. Then up the steps come these two guys, two dudes that looked like they had just fallen right out of a cat's rear end. They had a banjo, a guitar, some jazz. I said, what's with you guys? I said, "Well, we got a country group, and we'd like you to maybe manage us." I started making fun of the guy's stutter. He's going, "Mr. Jabel?" I said, yes. "What's the name of your group?" He goes, "It's Rascal Flatts." And I'm laughing. I don't even know if the guy really stutters or not, but that's how I remember it. I said, "Well, play a song for me." And they put out about two or three notes of a song, and I said, "It stinks, get out." And I went back to counting my cash receipts. They said, "Mr. Jabel, you should treat people better than that. We had a whole song we wanted to do." And I looked up and I said, that's not a cat, that's not a mouse, that's you still talking, right? He said, "Yeah." I said, "I told you to get out of here." And that's when I pulled a gun and I pointed it directly at his head. And that's when he turned around and said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Jabel," and the other guy, and they walked out into the street. And just as they were walking out onto the street, I said, "Hey, turn around, I got something for you." And they turned around and I said, "Look, it's not even loaded. What a couple of chump chimps." That's when they decided they're going to come after me. And that's when I brought in Igor, my bodyguard, and that's when he laid them out with one punch. He hit the guy in front. The other guy fell down just by looking at that punch. The two of them were out for hours. I decided, hey, why not? We rolled them out in the street and backed my Cadillac over top of them. About a year later, I'm listening to the radio, and here comes this song. It's called Back to Life. I said, yeah, Back to Life what? Back from the dead. And I think one of the guys from my office said, don't you realize that's Rascal Flatts? You drove your car over top of them? I said, you know what? You're right. This is a good song. So we drove to where their offices were, and I said, I'm Gene Jabel. Hi, I'm one of country music's great disc jockeys. And they said, okay, and what is this about? I said, well, I'm going to manage Rascal Flatts. First thing I'm going to do is change the name, but that's okay. And they said, okay, hold on. And they brought out the two guys that I'd been talking to, and I said, oh, it's Gene Jabel. You remember when you came to my office with that crap can song? They said, yeah. I said, well, I want to manage you now. They said, really? I said, yeah. So they escorted me into their office. They said, would you like to have a cigar, something to drink? I said, sure, why not? Well, they gave me a drink, and it was laced with date rape drug. Taking my hand, pulling me up. It also had a knockout pill in it. Well, when I awoke, my pants were down. You got. I don't want to go any further.
Rascal Flatts puts it to Gene Jabel.
I said, okay, you guys had your fun. All right, let me pull my pants up. Now, let's sign a management deal and let's get serious. They said, sure, we'll sign the management deal about 5 feet beyond that window. I looked down 10 stories up. I said, will you sign it? They go, yeah. So I crawled out on the window ledge. They said, keep going, keep going. Well, I fell 10 stories to the cement. I said, you guys signed the deal. They said, we didn't have a chance because you were out in the, you know, there's a thing called gravity.
I said, you pricked.
When I said the word prick, I knew I'd messed up because here it came, the butt end of a pool cue into my mouth. The other butt end of a pool cue, well.
Trailer for sale or rent.
Here's a real slob, Roger Miller, on Gene Jabel's Country Music USA.
No phone, no pool.
Gene Jabel.
Frank Gray is back on the phone here. Hey, Frank, how you doing, man? It's I didn't think we were going to hear from you again today.
Well, listen, I'm not going to take you back, Gene, as a client, okay? But I've got Mitzi Fitzgibbon, who's going to stop by and meet with you. And
Mitzi is who?
Well, who's Mitzi? He's a beautiful young lady who wants to marry, you know, who wants to marry, not marry you, but manage you.
You can't do it?
No, Mitzi Fitzgibbon. Okay, that's it. So look for him. He's about 5'2", huge cans. I'm only kidding. No, he doesn't have big breasts. Oh, he has pretty nice breasts, but...
Okay, got you.
Hey, how you doing?
Are you Mitzi?
I sure am. I think I can do anything for you. What you ought to do is come on by and come on and sign a contract.
Do you even... do you have your own teeth at any point during the day?
Not really. I buy ID.
Okay, well, when you buy your own teeth, if you don't mind... Gene Jabel here, and Mitzi Fitzgibbon wants to manage me, and she doesn't even have her own teeth. She borrowed those. You know, Roger Miller is a fantastic story. Roger Miller is one of those great Gene Jabel stories. I traveled with Roger Miller's band and was on tour bus traveling from Chattanooga to Nashville. Roger's lovely wife was on the bus, and you know what? I proposed to have a three-way with her, Roger, and me. The devil's threesome, as I call it. Well, the band members took turns punching and kneeing me in the gut, nutsack, and kidneys. I was thrown out of the bus at 75 miles per hour. I was run over by an 18-wheeler, an RV, a school bus, and a U.S. Army troop transport. I was dragged behind the troop transport for about 3 miles, dropped off a very high freeway overpass into a rock quarry, where I was then buried in heavy rocks that were dumped on me by Roger Miller and his crew.
2 hours of Gene Jabel, a moron.
Country Music USA will continue in just a moment with Gene Jabel.
Gene Jabel has had his ass kicked
by some of the great names in country music. You know, I went backstage at an American Idol concert once to try to sign Carrie Underwood to a management deal. She refused, so I made a few crude remarks about what I'd like to do to her, specifically backdoor. Well, her boyfriend got me in a headlock, and he used my head to bash in several Marshall stacks. The roadies formed a circle and took turns punching and kicking me. A huge speaker was dropped on my head, causing it to thin significantly. Underwood kicked me in the balls with a very sharp shoe. The boyfriend lifted me by the ponytail and flung me into the orchestra pit. I was left there unconscious till the janitors found me days and days later.
Yeah!
I'm proud of that ass kicking.
Sweet Willie Hickson's Gut Bucket Festival. This is an announcement that Gene Jabel has been uninvited as the MC because insurance will not cover the event if Gene Jabel is seen anywhere near the place, all right?
We will have the Sweet Willie Hickson Gut Bucket Festival, but I do not want, I do not care to have, I do not wish to have, I do not want, and will not want, and will not want to have Gene Jabel anywhere near me, my festival, members of my family, even in my state, which is Tennessee, sometimes Arizona, and most of the time California. The Sweet Willie Hickson Gut Bucket Festival, not featuring Gene Jabel.
I got a feeling called a blue.
Hey, Gene Jabel here, Country Music USA, getting my ass kicked by some of the top names in country music. You know, I showed up at an Alabama NAACP convention in blackface. Let me tell you about it. The original artist singing this song was Emmett Miller, and he performed this song in blackface. So I showed up at the NAACP concert in blackface saying, now hold on for a minute, the country music idiom, the country music genre has a great tradition of blackface featuring Emmett Miller. Don't you understand? I was beaten with lead pipes, chairs, and benches. I was thrown to the back of a pickup truck, and I was driven to a junkyard. I was put into a car crusher with a 69 Lincoln and crushed into a metal cube. Yeah. Gene Jabel Country Music USA. I'm going to feature right now a song by D.L. Menard. This is called The Back Door. You know, after Menard hit it big with his song, The Back Door, I decided to track him down to some shack in the bayou. I offered to manage D.L. Menard. And then I saw Menard's beautiful 22-year-old wife with a big ass, and I wanted her to show me the back door, you know? And anyway, D.L. and his brothers took turns beating me with 2x4s, steel pipes, masonry blocks, and an alligator skull. I was thrown into the swamp, and I was attacked by alligators, and my body was found by the authorities a few weeks later, partially devoured. Yeah! Gene Jabel, baby, get my ass kicked here in Country Music USA. Hey, guess what? Guess where all my exes live? Texas, huh? Isn't that a catchy title? When George Strait came to me with a song, he said, I got a song called All My Exes Live in Texas. I said, what is that? Some sort of an exercise for people that are mentally disturbed, people that can't form words with their mouths? He said, okay. And as he left, I said, George, do me a favor, will you? Hang it up, retire, okay? You ain't got it anymore. Well, about 6 months later, this song was on the radio. It was a huge hit, a big jukebox hit, people playing it everywhere. And I went over to George's house. I didn't just go over to his house, but I had to ask permission to get onto his street. And they said, well, what do you want? I said, I'm going to come over here and talk to George. That song, All My Exes Live in Texas, that's a really good song. And they said, yeah, we know. I said, no. You don't know it the way Gene Jabel knows it. I know it's good because I hated it at first. And because really I was just jealous of George's success. And then I came to like it. And they said, we don't even know what it is you're talking about. Please leave. I said, no, I will not leave until I talk to George. So they handed me a phone and I said, hello. And they said, hi, this is George. You've just gotten done talking to me. And that's when I felt a bowling ball hit me on the top of my head in the bag. Then they removed it from the bag and hit me on the head with a bowling ball again. I went to my knees. I finally tried to stagger as well as I could to my feet. And a little tiny bobcat, one of those front-loading tractors, ran me over. But I got to tell you something, man, I've been run over by the best, but a little tiny bobcat, ha ha ha, I got to laugh at that one, ha 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 ha. And I was hit with a serving skillet, then finally right across the face with a cast iron skillet, and that's why. And then I was shoved right out in front of a trolley car.
And in Tennessee. Yee-hoo!
Do, ladies and gentlemen, when you are just ain't tough enough, I'll tell you what you do. You name yourself Sue. Well, then you get yourself into another ass kicking. This is the Gene Jabel
Rocket to the Top.
A Boy Named Sue. Wait till you hear how this song winds up. Oh, you think you've heard this song? You have? Where did you hear it?
Because he run and hid.
Johnny Cash came in with this song. He said, I got a song called A Boy Named Sue. And I said, are you out of your mind, a boy? What does that mean? He began to explain himself. Don't explain it to me. I said, I realize that we're getting more gay tolerant. I realize we're more LGBT tolerant here, Johnny, but you're gonna ruin your career in country music. I'm not doing a song about a cross-dresser. He said, it's not. And by then I'd slammed the door in his face, and I hear him going, I said, get out of here, Johnny, before I call the cops. 9 months later, I hear this song. It's a hit record. He's on all the big shows. He's singing it. And I realized, oh, I see. It was a guy who's a heterosexual named Sue. Well, I still didn't get it. But I went over to Johnny's house. And I said, hey, is Sue here? And that's when the lights went out. When I woke up, June Carter was standing over me. She had a bucket of water. She said, you better get lost because Johnny doesn't like you and doesn't want you around. I said, June, you're still just as gorgeous as ever. You've still got that great ass. That's when I felt something else hit me. I can't really be sure what it was. It was either a ball peen hammer, a man's fist. It could have been a plate of taquitos. I don't know what it was, but the lights went out again. When I woke up, the sun was shining. It was very, very hot. There was cactus around. There was a dusty highway nearby. I'd been taken to Arizona.
Well, I knew that that snake was my own sweet dad.
Well, the rest is history. Gene DeBell staggered himself to his feet. I walked over to a phone booth, which just happened to be, you know, there in the middle of the desert. And I called Uber, and a guy took me over to a, you know, Airbnb, and I spent the night. And as long as I was there, I decided to go out and find some laughs. But I was in Kingman, Arizona, and there's nothing to do there. So finally, I found something to do.
And, you know,
it cost me $50 an hour, but I found something to do.
To my surprise,
guess what?
Come up with
her name was Johnny.
To my ear.
Gene Jabel, Country Music USA.
We crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a gouging in the mud and the blood.
Gene Jabel, Country Music USA, getting my ass kicked by the big stars in country music, is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast On.
Like a crocodile.
Gene, I hate you.
I heard.
That's my announcer, Slugs Martin, huh?
No, I do. I.
You're fantastic, Slugs. I hate Gene Jabel.
I saw him smile. And he said, son,
do something about your breath. Though, okay?
This world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. And I know I wouldn't be there to help you along.
Our next marathon, that is our next 48-hour marathon, will be in mid-May. We're taking your votes right now over there at the BSP fan page, as well as the Phil Henry fan page at Facebook. That's Phil Henry Fans, PHANS. What mini marathon, what's the next 48-hour marathon that you want to hear on the world-famous Phil Henry Show?